Hi, I'm Common Man.
I'm serious.
I'll prove it.
Me likey. Pee-pee no worky.
See? It's really me. The Common Man and Timmy podcast is sponsored by my friends Care Heating and Cooling. If your air conditioner breaks, that's bad news for everyone.
Especially Saki.
Call my guys at Care and make sure that never happens to you. Call 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com.
When you need a company you can trust.
Stupid. That's right. You're now listening to Common Man and T-Bone.
You know what, though? It's a weird thing with the NFL now because you have so many teams that have decided.
Nice spider! A little tiny spider. A little tiny.
You want me to go get him?
Gray spider. Is it on my pants? Hold on.
Probably a baby.
I gotta get up.
Probably the little egg sack. Probably spiders everywhere. Crawling all over you.
Featuring Panama Ted, imported from Panama.
Thank you, Ted. You suck.
Leanna Ray on traffic.
5 minute delay.
And a bunch of internet sounds that make no sense.
To reach around the guy.
You gotta squat and be ready.
Balls on his chest.
Strap in and strap it on. This is Man and Bone.
Happy weekend. Welcome in. Hello, Bone.
Hello, man.
Oh, we have a big program today. I actually have some news to share with you.
Oh.
I have waited until this moment to tell you this.
Okay.
I just came back from the store.
Yeah.
What is today's date?
Saturday.
July 17th.
Saturday, July 17th.
July 17th.
Yeah.
I just came back from the store. Halloween candy display.
Yes. We're back.
We're
America's
back, baby.
Back, baby. That's right.
I don't know. Is that, is that the
sign.
Signal that America's
we're
back?
Healthy. You can lick each other's faces now. Halloween
July
candy
17th,
is out in July.
Halloween candy time.
What?
You ask this every single year. What are
why?
We doing? I don't know
why?
The answer. I don't know why.
I've told you, I don't feel comfortable drinking like pumpkin or fall themed beers.
Get ready.
Before a football game is played. I can't eat Halloween candy in the middle of July. That's not acceptable.
Well, you can.
Well, I
you
will.
You just choose not
but
to.
I will choose to eat it because it's candy, but I'm just saying it. That's not right. That's the end of October.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Oktoberfest is not even in October. Like, what are we talking about? That's weird when you get Oktoberfest beers in the summer. That's bizarre.
The fine producer of this program, Panama Ted. Hello, Teddy.
Hello, gentlemen.
Well, you had a lot of nonsense to work with this week because we had the show with no sports in it this week.
That's right. We did an entire show about nothing, and you'll hear some of the segments from that show.
Oh, yeah, as opposed absolutely. To all those other very substantive shows.
Well, sometimes we dive deep, and then we ask ourselves, why
and
have
then,
we done
and then
this?
Here's what happens. Full disclosure. The microphones go off. You take your headphones off. You look at me and go, I hated that segment.
But
and
yes,
I go, yes,
that's right.
I did too. So we
but
like
sometimes
doing the
we have to
segments.
Do it. Anyway, go ahead,
yeah,
Teddy.
Patrick Laine had some comments about playing for Torts.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a sports segment. ESPN ranked their NFL quarterbacks, and Baker, he didn't get much love on that ranking system. And T-Bone, you're not a fan of watching cooking shows and Botched at the same time.
No.
Got a big day today. This show, then it's Buckeye Replay, right?
Yeah.
At noon, I think it's 85 against Iowa
yes.
this week.
Ooh, nice.
And then Crew tonight.
Beautiful. Big game.
You know what? I'm going to guarantee a victory for the Buckeyes. Not so sure about the Crew.
It's all right. They're working through some injuries and some absences. So, yeah, I would take a tie. They seem to be good at that right now. So get another tie. I'd be fine with that.
Common Man and T-Bone Weekend starts now.
Common Man and T-Bone Weekend.
ESPN is putting together their list of the top 10 players at every single position. They surveyed more than 50 league executives, coaches, scouts, and players to help stack up the top 10. And so yesterday, they released the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Would you like to hear them? Please say yes.
Yes, go right ahead.
Number one is Pat Mahomes. He was also, for what it's worth, number one last year.
All right, I don't have a problem with that.
I don't care. It's fine. Aaron Rodgers is number two. He is the reigning NFL MVP, even though we have no idea if he's going to play football this year. Last year, he was number three on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady comes in at number three. Last year, he got no respect. He was on the list at number seven.
That's right.
But he's found the fountain of youth.
He showed them.
He's back.
I'm sure that's what really motivated him was Boy, they disrespected me in the top 10 rankings.
Don't be surprised.
Well, I'm just saying.
This is voted on by his peers.
Yeah, but don't you think also maybe like get another championship ring might have mattered slightly more than this ranking?
No.
Okay.
Russell Wilson is at number 4. He actually slid 2 spots because last year he was number 2. And he didn't have a very good year by his standards last year.
Right.
Josh Allen pops up to number 5. Last year he was unranked. He was not in the top 10, but he had a very successful year last year. Mm-hmm. They flirted with the Super Bowl, and he's going to make some money on a long-term deal.
I would think so, yes.
Matt Stafford is number 6. Last year he was at number 10, but he's with the Rams now, and it's Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, it really is.
It is.
We were talking about this a little bit, just talking about Matt Stafford before the show, and I tend to think that he's a pretty good quarterback. I think I rate him a little higher than you do, but either way, this is a guy who with the Lions has always been talked about as one of these good players who's just usually on some bad teams, or at least the last few years has been. Well, now he's going to a place that's perceived to have a pretty good roster around him and has already been to a Super Bowl recently. So the idea there is, I think he's pretty good, but the expectation is he's got to be like at Super Bowl level.
No, I think he's pretty good too. I don't understand when I hear some people talk about him like he's a second coming of Christ.
Right.
Oh, the Rams got him?
Yeah.
They fleeced the Lions by giving the Lions a starting quarterback and 2 first-round picks.
Yeah, right. That is a big haul to give up to get Matt Stafford. But I think Matt Stafford is a very good quarterback. Good to great quarterback. Could be awesome. But here's the thing. The other way, I think Jared Goff has been a little underrated. Not that I get why the Rams wanted to part ways, but I could see a scenario, Mike, where the Lions have a decent year with Jared Goff and people go, wow, he's better than we thought. And then the Rams don't get to a Super Bowl or something, and it's like, wow, is Matt Stafford overrated? No. I think
Sean McVay may be overrated.
Yeah, right. I think Matt Stafford is a really good quarterback who, if they don't get to a Super Bowl, it doesn't mean he sucks. It means it's really difficult with good quarterbacks to get to a Super Bowl. Anyway, I could see him being ready for a little bit of a dip in these rankings next year.
So Matt Stafford in at number 6. Dak Prescott is back this year, and he's at number 7. Last year he was at number 9, so he didn't play.
No.
And he's up 2 spots just because his team sucks so much. Lamar Jackson is at number 8. He fell 2 spots. Last year he was at number 6.
Yeah.
Number 9, maybe surprising, was Justin Herbert of the Chargers.
All right.
He was unranked last year. He
had 1 year.
I know. He had 1 year. It was a nice season.
It was.
In games that didn't matter. But still, let him live. And then no Baker Mayfield at number 10. Or number 9, for that matter.
Right.
It's your buddy Kyler Murray
at
number 10. Because he had such a great year last year.
I think, you know what's so interesting is, and I'm not someone who gets mad when Baker Mayfield gets slided. I'm actually thrilled. Leave him off all your lists. Don't put him on anything. Talk about
it. Yeah, it motivates him.
Yeah, this is great. He's at least started to get to the point a little bit where you don't hear it as much every day about how motivated he is to prove the doubters wrong. But, yeah, you know that's still going on. That still motivates this guy. And so, fine, leave him off the list. I don't know. Is Baker Mayfield a top 10 quarterback? Probably in my mind he is, but I am obviously biased as a Browns fan. Here's what I do know. He's the right quarterback for the Browns. He makes a lot of sense for what the Browns want to do. They finally got a coach that utilizes him properly, and he made some great throws down the stretch last year to put that team in position. Now, is he the only, if you have nothing around him, is he going to lead your team to 12 wins? I don't think so. You have an epic running game. You have a great offensive line, and you've got some great weapons on the outside. So he does benefit from being in a really good offense, but I do think we've seen other quarterbacks be in really good offenses and not be able to make the throws, not be able to make the plays.
In the also receiving votes category, I assume these are in order, right? I assume that they're listing these in order, that the next guy on this list would be number 11,
yeah,
and that's Matt Ryan. So
hold on. That's a reputation vote.
Of course, it's a reputation vote. There's no one in the world who's taking Matt Ryan over Baker Mayfield on their football team.
No.
So Matt Ryan is next. Then it's Derek Carr. Then it's Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. Then it's Ryan Tannehill. Then it's Joe Burrow.
Well,
then it's Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Then Baker Mayfield shows up. One ahead of Carson Wentz. Is that what the NFL thinks of Baker Mayfield?
You know what that is?
Slightly better than Carson Wentz at this point.
You know what that is, though? That is what a lot of people, because you said this was voted on by players, right?
Well, exactly. People in the league.
Oh, okay.
Coaches,
people in the league.
Executives, players.
I think there are a lot of people that are rubbed the wrong way by him, and I fully get that because he has at times rubbed me the wrong way. But I think there are people who hold that against him. And then look at the offense is really good. They've got a lot of talent in that offense. So the thought is, well, of course he's going to put up some numbers. I think there's, yes, more of the leadership stuff that Baker Mayfield brings. I do think he obviously has that knack for a moment to find a way to make a play. But, yeah, I get it. You don't want to put him in your top 15 even? Was that where was he, 16? Thereabouts, roughly? That's fine. Go ahead. Put him down there. I'm not
17.
I'm not losing any sleep over it because at the end of the day, I've seen what the guy can do on the field, and he's right for this organization.
Common Man and T-Bone Weekend.
Can I bring donuts in here tomorrow?
Don't ask
without
me.
Getting
I'm not in
fired?
Charge.
I just think it's so stupid. We can hug. We can breathe the same air. But if corporate gets wind that we have a box of donuts we're sharing down here, the world will end.
Go ask Platinum Fox.
He's still drunk from yesterday.
That's fair enough. I wanted to be drunk yesterday. I went home and drank myself into a stupor. That was, I mean, it was a great time, Mike. A great time at the fan golf outing.
Fan golf outing. Here's the thing.
It's just hot.
I obviously have been in temperatures much hotter than yesterday. Maybe you were out and about yesterday and you're like, what was the problem? It wasn't that hot. And it wasn't. Temperature-wise, it was not that hot. We were in like the vortex of hell. We weren't getting any air. The humidity was a million.
Well, and you look.
And we're wearing earmuff headphones.
You don't like the heat.
I know. I don't like
anything. And that's fair. So if someone looked at it and said, well, Mike, you're complaining. This is weird. You don't like the heat. Get over it. I love the heat. I live in the heat. I want to be in the heat. I'd much rather be hot than cold. Yesterday, I looked at you after about 10 minutes and said, this is going to suck today because it was so hot out there and humid. It felt like someone was just every 10 minutes bringing a new plate of sizzling fajita stuff and sitting that skillet
right
in front of you.
And then taking their pants down and farting right in our face. Right. This hot fart wind.
It was just steam and gross humidity.
We were broadcasting yesterday from a sauna.
Right.
There was an old Polish man putting water on rocks.
Which I still don't know why that is. Is that just to create more steam in there?
Steam. Yeah.
Okay. But does it not create its own steam? Like, do you have to do that? Otherwise, it doesn't work?
I don't know.
And how are we heating those rocks? What's under there?
Lava.
Oh, lava.
Magma.
Well, not in most saunas I've been in, buddy. I gotta tell you. The why? No lava. Why saunas do not have lava?
Excuse me, can we get some extra magma in this sauna? Sorry, sir, we're fresh out of magma.
Why is your YMCA built on a volcano? Well, we want an authentic spa
experience.
Why not? We want that authentic spa experience.
Why are you
for
spraying
you?
Me with ash? Well, this is what would happen if the volcano erupted.
That's right. That's what I want in a sauna experience. Or sauna. I've heard somebody say
sauna.
Sauna? That's not right.
I've heard
people say it that way, but it's not right.
Sauna?
Getting in the sauna.
Is it Dalai Lama or Dalai Lama? I'll never forget that. We had a news guy here at the radio station for years. Mike Hawkins. Worked for ONN Radio. Veteran of this business.
Veteran.
And he looked at me one day and said, is it Dalai Lama or Dalai Lama? Well, what is this, like a high school recruit that you never heard of before?
Here's the thing. Those are the sacred arts behind the scenes of radio, because how many times have we asked stupid questions about, well, in fairness, we've asked those questions about like a new Buckeye recruit where we may not know how to pronounce a person's name and we don't want to screw it up. Dalai Lama is one that I think probably should be in most people's vernacular or easily Googleable if you don't know how it's pronounced.
He had another one too. We used to have it. I don't think we have it anymore. He was interviewing somebody, and they used the term 24/7, and he stopped and said, now, 24/7, what's that mean? What's that mean? It's a favorite slogan.
Imagine,
of the Dalai Lama.
Yes, when I go to the Sheetz gas stations, Mike.
They're open 24/7.
They have a sign. As you walk out the door, it's reassuring. It says 24/7/365. Mm-hmm. You know it's there every day.
We keep changing the locks, but they keep finding new ways to get in. It's Common Man and T-Bone Weekend. The best or worst from the past week. Now back to the show.
These quotes from Patrick Laine today, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't think on Thursday's show we would break in with this.
These
are not to the level that you're talking about. But in a normal day, these are very interesting and fairly, I think, noteworthy for Jackets fans. He was talking to his hometown newspaper in Finland. It's Aamulehti, I believe is how you say it, but I'm probably butchering that.
Their sports section is just called the Jarmo.
Okay, sure. So he was talking, again, to hometown newspaper, probably being a little more honest than he would be, you know, if he was speaking to a big outlet here in the U.S., right?
Yes, but, and these comments have been translated to English.
Yes, these come from, I just want to see the person who translated this, is a CBJ fan named, it looks like, Sayla, and she's a translator. She says she can translate from Finnish, so take it for what it's worth. She says that these quotes come from Patrick Laine in his paper, said that, I guess everyone should have the same rules. But of course, you always hope that you can make the best possible use of your own strengths. Tortorella gave no freedom to anyone. That's from Patrick Laine. He went on. Forwards want to create offense. You have to cheat a little bit if you're going to be a top scorer. This is not possible if coaching thinks differently, but I do as they tell me to. I assume he means cheat a little bit on defense,
yes,
to get
right
up the ice, but yeah. Then he said, I understand tight mold, on the other hand, but all the players are different. I don't even want to be the same as everybody else. I am who I am, and I do things the way I do. Everyone should be allowed to be themselves. Of course, you must stay in the team's game system. I think it would be stupid not to use my potential, although it's another thing of what coaching staff thinks.
If you are a Jackets fan, and these comments about playing in Tortorella's system surprise you, then you're stupid.
Right.
We have talked about this. This is the major flaw, I believe, with John Tortorella, is that John Tortorella has the ability to take average players and turn them into good players. I think where he's flawed is the ability to take a good player, turn him into a great player. Patrick Laine has the ability to be a great player, or at least, this is where we differ. He has the ability to be a great scorer, and I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Because, as he said, sometimes you're not going to play that complete game that John Tortorella is looking for. But your game, being as skilled as you are, can impact the team in so many other ways. I'm not saying everybody gets to freelance, everybody gets to do that, but if you've got an uber-talented guy with a high ceiling, like you do with Patrick Laine, and you don't utilize that talent, then you're doing everybody on that roster a disservice. John Tortorella wants everybody to play by the same set of rules. You don't ask David Ortiz to lay down a drag bunt, all right?
Right.
If David Ortiz can't bunt, and all he's doing is turning and burning, I'm going to give him a pass because he can change a game doing that. Patrick Laine can change a game with his skill. You think he's the only one talking about this?
No, of course not.
Everybody around the league was talking about the limitations of playing for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And so what do the Blue Jackets do? They go out and they hire his lieutenant. And you can spin this any way you want, that it's going to be different, and I'm going to do it my way, and I'm my own man. This still exists out there about the Columbus Blue Jackets, and they have to do something about it.
Yeah, and obviously it becomes more of a moot point now from the standpoint that I don't think it's going to matter the next couple years. I don't think you're going to have great players or really, really, really good players that you're going to mold and grow into.
No, but you're going to have young players.
You are, but what I'm saying is I think you're going to have more talent evaluation going on the next couple years, and I don't think personality-wise – Brad Larson's going to be like John Tortorella. I mean, I do think there is going to be a little bit more freedom. I do think the players are going to have a little bit more of an opportunity to be themselves, because what's the harm in it? Like, what if you're going to be rank and file and get everybody, you know, to play this hardline style that only one way goes, my way or the highway? Well, what's that going to do for you? Keep you from going eighth to seventh? Like, I don't understand what the logic would be with that. Let the young players come in. Let them flourish. Let them find their games. Maybe you find some diamonds in the rough. And then maybe when it comes time, either Brad Larson rounds into this coach and becomes the guy who can coach those guys up and get them beyond their potential. Or perhaps when the time comes, you bring in a new coach who can actually change the culture. But I'm with you, Mike. The perception outside of Columbus from the NHL perspective, it does matter when it comes to players wanting to come here. You have to get over the hump that the only way you can win is if you nail every draft pick and then keep everybody under your thumb for 3 or 4 or 5 years. You've got to get out beyond that. You've got to be able to land talent, and I don't mean trades. You have to be able to land free agents occasionally to come to Columbus and do the job to put you over the top. You need to be able to land Artemi Panarin as a free agent, not as a player with 2 years on his deal. And these comments, I'm not blaming Laine for this. He's telling the truth. But you think he's saying this and everybody else around the league is going, well, gosh, I've never heard that. That's pretty shocking.
No, of course not.
Patrick Laine just got here. And he is saying the same things that PLD probably was saying. He is saying the same things that, you know, 10 other players have said in the last few years. And the Jackets doubled down on that this offseason. They just decided. I'm more convinced now than ever, Mike. John Tortorella just didn't want to be here anymore. And the Jackets were like, well, that's probably best for both of us. Okay, we're not going to fight you on that. I honestly don't think John Tortorella wanted to stick around here any more than they wanted to stick around with him. It may be if he came back and said, I desperately want to coach this team, they would have said, all right, let's think about that.
And if you're out there saying everybody should have the same set of rules, grow up. Grow up and look at life. All right, we say it all the time. We have a sales staff here, right? Platinum Fox leading the sales staff. We exist because we sell commercials on this station. Top salesperson, if he or she working different hours than everybody else, barely showing up, you think Platinum Fox cares as long as he's hitting his, he or she, why do I keep doing that? He or she hitting his numbers?
If they're hitting their goals, it doesn't matter. If they're not hitting their goals, that's a problem.
He doesn't care if he walks over and sees that person at their desk. He doesn't care as long as that number is coming in.
Right. I think there's got to be some understanding of that. And I do think, Mike, this goes back to discussion we have had in sports for many years where people want to say with, you know, the Phil Jacksons of the world or these coaches that, you know, Red Auerbach back in the day with all those great Celtics teams, they go, well, of course those guys won a lot of games. Look at all the talent they had. There is a difference between the coach who gets a bunch of hustle and grit and makes them a playoff team. There's a different level of coach between that and the coach who has premier talent and maximizes the premier talent. Patrick Laine, despite what you saw this past year, He has the potential to be.
He has the ability to be
a premier talent in the NHL. And you have to find a way to get the most out of him. And what I can't abide is when people look at not just John Tortorella, but coaches in general and say, well, couldn't get that guy to get going. That's on that player. That's not on the coach. It is entirely on the coach. The coach's job is to get the player's attention. And yes, sometimes players are spoiled, they are entitled, they may feel like they don't want to do the things that other guys want to do. You have to find a way to break through and get that player to buy in, and also not buy in a way that's just shrugging their shoulders and going, well, I guess what he wants me to do, I'll do it. No, you have to get him to be excited about that. You have to find a way to unify your team. And it doesn't appear that was going on under John Tortorella.
Common Man and T-Bone Weekend, celebrating all the award-winning material from the past week. Also celebrating Big Voice Guy being a pathological liar. Let's get back to the show.
Justin Fields, new quarterback for the Chicago Bears. He and Kyle Pitts were discussing how important endorsements and marketing money is. Here's what Justin Fields had to say. My plan right now is to not touch any of my contract money and pretty much just live off the marketing money. Kyle Pitts agreed. He said, definitely living off our endorsement money, putting our stuff away so that there's that generational wealth. Mm-hmm. They're not the first ones to do this.
No.
There are athletes that do put their salaries away and live off the extras. Famously, from the world of entertainment, Jay Leno.
Oh, gosh.
If you believe him, Jay Leno says he's never spent a dime of his Tonight Show money. And we're talking $15 to $20 million a year.
Yes, it would be in the hundreds of millions of dollars that he's never touched, if that's true.
Yeah, I mean, he's got his mansion. He's got all these cars that he's purchased only with the money he's made doing stand-up gigs.
Yeah, because I don't know if everybody remembers that. Yeah, if you are a fan of Jay Leno or you remember him, you probably know he was on The Tonight Show. But he was a really big stand-up comedian at a time in the 80s when that could be a significant way to make a living. Not different than now, right, where if you're a stand-up comedian, then you get a movie deal or you get a sitcom deal or something like that. I mean, you could just go around. There were big nightclubs you could go to and make, you know, ridiculous six-plus figure earnings every year just by being a stand-up comedian on the road, not getting the big TV deal, not becoming like Jerry Seinfeld. And that's what he did before he got, you know, ultimately on The Tonight Show.
This story says both athletes have an assortment of endorsements that can support their financial decisions. Pitts has endorsements with Jordan Brand, Raisin Cane's, Let 'Em Live, Panini America, where Fields has deals with Bose, Chipotle, and Wonderful Pistachios. They are both brand ambassadors for Nutrabolt's C4 Energy, which they say is the fastest growing energy drink in the U.S.
Yeah, this article started to feel like at the end of it where they were like, oh, and by the way, do you know about this energy drink?
Yes, that's why they were talking to this guy.
It started to become a pitch for the actual drink. But no, this is such good news to hear. I don't know why I get so invested in these guys' financial lives, Mike. Because, like, Kyle Pitts, I mean, didn't play for my team. I don't care. Like, I wish him well.
Hell of a talent.
Yeah, hell of a talent.
Wish he was on my team.
Of course. But I'm saying, like, when I hear about a pro athlete saying, I'm going to take the money that I make from endorsements, I'm going to live off that, my brain is already doing math. Like, let's say conservatively, and I bet it's a lot more than this, let's say these guys are making $500,000 a year in endorsements. Insert your laugh here. But if that's all they're making is $500,000, think about the life you could have even in giant cities when you're a single guy, you're a young guy, and oh, by the way, you have the might of an NFL team to help you find pretty good apartment to live in or a nice, you know, condo building, something that's going to be nice for you as an NFL player, but it's not going to be I've got a 20-acre mansion and 72 rooms, and you don't need all that stuff, especially when you're young.
That'll come.
Yeah.
When they're 5-6 years in a league, that'll come.
But you know what?
They're on their second contract.
If you bank your first contract and let that just roll up, and then, yes, 5 or 6 years into your career, you start spending some of your actual contractual money. You start to buy a couple properties or whatever. Then your money that you put away, by the time you are 35, 40, 45, and you've kind of wound through all that other money you had, now that money you made early on, I mean, you can go buy the ridiculous place.
Yeah, I think it's a smart move to say that I'm not going to touch my first contract until I sign my second contract.
Yes. In fact, never touch your first contract if you can until you stop playing. Just let it sit in a bank, or in a bank would be easy. Set it in something that'll make some money off of it for 10 or 15 years, and then you're golden.
You don't know what the hell's going to happen. Look at Dwayne Haskins, man.
You don't.
And
I don't.
I don't know, you know, what's going to happen with Dwayne Haskins. I don't know how he's spending his cash. All I know is third year in the league. He is a backup quarterback that probably won't see any He's a third string quarterback that probably won't see any action unless there's a complete disaster.
Sure.
In Pittsburgh. He has this reputation around the league, fair or unfair, as being lazy and a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. He just had an incident, what was it, the other day, where I guess his new wife beat the crap out of him, and he lost a tooth.
He got assaulted, yeah.
And he probably went into this league. There wasn't a thought in his mind he was going to be successful. He's going to roll into his second contract. He's probably never going to see a second contract.
Not at any level that would rival what he made for the first contract. No way. Are you kidding? No.
But when you're a first-round quarterback, I don't care if you're drafted number one or drafted number 20. Where was he? 17, 18?
Somewhere
around there. I don't care where you are. All those guys assume that they're getting that second deal, that big second deal.
Yeah. And you're right. I tend to think that the guys we just talked about in Kyle Pitts and certainly Justin Fields, I think they're going to be in the league a lot longer than that. And I think they're going to do better than he did. But we had a lot of high thoughts for him, too. And you just never know how life's going to work out. You don't know what kind of injury situation you might find yourself in the NFL. But, yeah, having the plan to say, I'm not going to touch any of my contract money, and I'm just going to put it in something and let it grow for a while. Great idea.
Here's what Justin Fields should say. My career right now is in the hands of Matt Nagy, and I don't trust him to do anything. So I'm going to save my money.
Absolutely right. And by the way, the endorsement deals these guys are getting, these are national brands.
Yeah.
They're not signing typically to those type of deals for less than six figures for each one of those deals. So I'm guessing they're doing quite well, and maybe even seven figures in some cases. So, yeah, you can have a really nice living just doing endorsements like these guys are.
Common Man and T-Bone Weekend.
Tom Brady apparently played the entire 2020 season with a torn MCL. It gradually worsened as the season went on. So there's a couple things that we can digest with this. Do we need more proof? I guess for some people, they need more proof that Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. Right. I don't know why.
He can go out and win a Super Bowl on one leg.
He can go out with a leg amputated next year, win the Super Bowl, and he still would be the greatest of all time, before doing that.
He would do that, and then there would be an article saying, well, actually, if Shohei Ohtani played quarterback, he would be better than Tom Brady.
That's right. So Tom Brady had a torn MCL last year, goes out, wins a Super Bowl. We can digest that. I don't know if it was Tom Brady who was the source on this.
Oh, well, who else do you think it would be?
I have no idea.
Was his doctor going to break HIPAA laws and go tell
no,
this?
No, I'm not. What's with you and the HIPAA laws? HIPAA! Every dope in the world thinks they understand HIPAA laws.
That actually would be a violation of HIPAA if the
I'm
doctor
sure the
told
doctor
this.
I'm sure the doctor wasn't saying it, but you don't think people in the Tampa Bay front office know?
Yeah, I mean, that's still... would be problematic. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they could have leaked that info. I'm guessing this came from Tom Brady.
Well, it could have come from Tom Brady. He had a lot of opportunities to say it, though, didn't he? I mean, he wasn't shy about the severity of the knee surgery he had this offseason.
Well, I think he was, like, at first, they kept it all under wraps until it was done, and then it was like, oh, yeah, it was really bad. He's, to me, a little bit, now, much better resume. He's turning into Peyton Hillis.
I'm glad you said much better resume than Peyton Hillis. Jesus. What's the matter with you?
No, it is. It's
Are
like,
you sure you didn't take Richard Sherman's booze?
Next thing we're going to hear is, like, actually, his ACL was also torn, and there's another ligament you're not even aware of. Well, there's a PCL, I guess. That was torn. And then they invented a new one, the JCL, which is
got the UCL, but that's in your elbow. That was also torn.
He actually is ligamentless. They have taken all the ligaments out of his body. There's no ligaments. They're all gone.
The other odd thing about this is that the NFL, by the way, NFL has no comment on this. I don't know why, because they're pissed off. The NFL is trying to sell their information. Well, not trying to, they are. Selling their information for tens of millions of dollars because they're in the gambling business now.
Well, I'm pretty sure they made those deals prior to last season.
Oh, they did. That's why I said they are selling their information. Tom Brady did not make it on the injured list for a knee all season long. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the league, they're calling up the Tampa Bay Buccaneers saying, how the hell could you let this happen? You like all those revenue sharing checks that we drop in the mail for you?
That actually could be the source. If you're wondering who may have leaked this, could be someone at a casino or someone in the sports gambling world who found out about it and was told it kind of on the hush hush and then was now saying, yeah, now that I've made my money or whatever, maybe they just found out about it after the fact and they're mad about it. That could be the source of this too.
Teams can't get away with this. They shouldn't be able to get away with this anymore. If they're going to partner with gambling websites and information gathering services for gamblers, they have to be as transparent as humanly possible. That goes for the NFL. That goes for every sport. The NHL wants to jump into the gambling business. Guess what's not going to work anymore? Upper body and lower body BS.
Can't do it.
As
someone who wants to do that and wants to do it legally and do it the right way, when it all becomes legal, I'm not going to feel great about putting my bet down if I can't trust that I'm getting good information. I know I may not get the insider stuff, obviously, like as a...
A
regular
person,
you're not going to get
that. Torn MCL basic stuff.
And it's like, he's going to go out and play on it.
Right.
Factor that into your bet. Totally fine.
Oh, this is your lucky day. Now, back to the stupid.
CBS's Gary Parrish really likes the Chris Holtmann edition of Cedric Russell, jumping the Buckeyes up to number 15 in his preseason top 25. I think they jumped four or five slots. So Michigan and Purdue, the only Big Ten teams ranked ahead of Ohio State. But you and I talked about this on Friday, or was it Thursday, when this news came down. Cedric Russell comes in, averaged over 17 points a game, albeit in a lesser conference, but still. Chris Holtmann had a goal
to go out. And obviously, you want all your guys to come back, right? But we know that's not going to be the case now. You're losing Dwayne Johnson. So, him too.
And Dwayne Washington.
Him and Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, you've lost him.
Once you've lost The Rock,
I'll tell you,
you're never going to get your fast
and
furious.
You needed some interior defense. I think The Rock will give it to you.
It's not going
to
be the same without
Dwayne Washington and Dwayne Johnson. You've lost both of them. EJ is coming back, but we stress all the time, this is a talented conference. You're going to need to find some scoring. You've found it now here. You went out and acquired some defense in this portal too. We talk about recruiting, obviously. We fall in love with this guy's a four-star guy, this guy's a five-star guy, he's Mr. Ohio, all of that stuff. But I think the day is either here or coming, where at least for these head coaches, the transfer portal and what they do or don't do is just as important as sitting down and trying to get a high schooler to come agree and play for your program.
Oh, 100%. That's a big deal to be able to find the guys who are in the transfer portal who fit what you need, because Lord knows there's a ton of players out there. And it would be, it's twofold, right? You've got to figure out who are the guys that make sense for what you're trying to do and who aren't going to be disappointed with their role or who aren't going to look at what they think they should be doing or what they've been leaned on in the past and say, yeah, I can just do that at Ohio State. It may be slightly different for them. Can they make that adjustment? The other part of that is then you've got to find the guy who is willing to take it on and actually be a part of your team as opposed to one of the other teams that are also vying for him. So there's a lot of moving pieces to that. And then you have to do it every single offseason. And like you said, you're also trying to do this with high school recruits. And their recruitment pitches, I would guess, are slightly different than the recruiting you can do with someone who's in the portal, because they actually have played college basketball. And it's a little bit different experience level. They know what they like from a coach and what they don't. And they know they probably have seen some things from Chris Holtmann and some of these other coaches. They have a better idea of what they like and why they're trying to go there. So that dance for all these coaches is very difficult. And then on top of it, when you have players that are debating on whether or not to go into the draft, I like the fact that players have movement. I like the fact that players can weigh their options, take as much time as they want before making a commitment to the draft or to come back. But we said at the time that all these things came down, as good as it is for the players, it's going to be really rough for the coaches. So I appreciate it's a difficult job for the coaches, but I still think it's the right thing to do.
They're paid enough money. They can adapt.
Yes, I think that's okay.
I have Dwayne Johnson on the brain because I saw this weekend he had posted something on Instagram about how he was going to go work out, right? And when he walked out of his house, there was a hawk sitting there eating a snake.
Wow.
All right?
That's.
And he saw this thing on the inside and he said, well, if I hit the door with some energy, the hawk will get spooked and fly away.
Yeah.
So he opens the door really loudly and gives like, you smell what I'm cooking or whatever he does.
People's elbow.
And he says the hawk just looks at him, gets pissed off, starts staring at him, and then just keeps eating the snake.
Wow.
And he's like, well, something's got to give because this hawk's got to eat and I got to train. That's nice for a little story. Do you think that Dwayne Johnson's house only has one exit point?
Well, right.
It's like, well, I only have one front door and that's it.
Also,
so I'm trapped in the house all day.
You know what he has access to? Any gymnasium in America. Because if the Rock
he's
walks in,
probably got a 10,000
like,
square foot gym in his house.
Right, I know, but I'm saying if he decided one day I don't want to work out at home, I got to get out of here for whatever. He could go to any gym anywhere in the country, and be like, "Hi, I'm the Rock. I need this place cleared out in 2 hours because I want to do a private workout, and I'll post it on Instagram for you." That would happen in a second. So yeah, I don't feel bad for him that a hawk limited his chances to work out. I have had a hawk interaction, believe it or not.
Hawk Harrelson?
Yes. No.
He showed you his hemorrhoid?
Yes. No, I had a car, one of our fine partners that we worked with in the past, dealership, that gave me a car to drive around for a few weeks, and I enjoyed test driving that. And I was taking it back to the dealership, and I will remember this clear as day because I thought, all right, I've avoided any accidents. I'm not going to messed up. My kids didn't do anything to it.
They did have to throw out the front seats, though, because you ruined the springs. Like, these will never bounce back.
Well, I also have, like, Warren Sapp levels of ass sweat, so that was also a deep clean. But I'm driving in and I see a bird fly out of the middle median on the freeway. And I'm like, wow, that is a big bird. That's like a hawk or something. And right as I'm processing what it is, I see in his talons, he's got something, a little animal.
Baby.
Maybe a rodent.
Human baby.
Yeah. Okay. It was probably a rabbit or a little whatever, squirrel. And as I'm like marveling at the beauty of nature, I'm going down 270 trying to get to this appointment. All of a sudden I see drip, 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 blood on the car. from this animal.
Yes.
And I'm like, I went from like, this is amazing, nature is cool, to like, nature sucks. Like, I'm pissed off, I'm screaming at this hawk. So I can kind of relate to The Rock a little bit, and that's the only time I'll ever say that sentence.
And so now that guy, the guy from the dealership, went home and told his family, that prima donna T-bone, he got brought the car back with a bunch of blood on it.
That's yeah, because you've heard our show, and you may think, like, does T-Bone actually hate all these people who drive slow in the fast lane? Like, yeah, but not enough to run them off the road. Like, I'm not doing that. But then I bring a car back with blood on it. Who's to blame them if they think that? Yeah. We got you've got some stuff going on TV right now,
all
my friend.
All I did was turn on the television.
No, here's
I didn't
here's
do
a
this
problem.
To troll you at
Shut
all.
Shut up. Here's right, the problem.
Go ahead.
You have on one screen. You have a cooking show
yeah.
where they are making
tacos. Delicious
okay.
looking tacos.
On the other screen, you have Botched, which is a plastic surgery show.
Yes.
And so I occasionally look up and I will see someone chopping up meat on the cooking channel. And for a brief moment, I go, oh, my God. Oh, it's the cooking channel. And then I looked up again and I thought, oh, that looks like some
they
prosciutto. No, that is the death.
They
not-
are ripping open this oh. woman's. Chest right now.
This is like honestly cannibalism psychosis stuff you got going on.
That's why I turned it on for you.
So disorienting. Where I look at one point, it's like
we've done the show for a long time together, man.
I see things that make me hungry next to human flesh.
We need to start challenging ourselves because we've fallen into a routine, into some bad habits. We're used to this. Mm-hmm. So I said, here's how I'm going to challenge Bone: tacos on one TV. Human flesh
right.
being ripped up
no,
on the other TV.
I looked up at one point and I'm like, ground beef. Which channel am I watching? What's happening? This is so disorienting.
And I love how, like on this show Botch, which if you've never seen it, people go into plastic surgeons and they say, you know, I had plastic surgery in the past. It didn't work out. Can you fix me?
Yeah, these
That's
two
what it
plastic
is.
Surgeons help people who have really bad plastic surgery.
But I love how, like, we're just seeing someone with their shirt off. But they blur out the nips just
yes.
a little bit. And it's
yes.
like, oh, well, that's acceptable.
Oh, yeah. We're
Why
watching
not?
Shirtless television.
We're
like,
pretty
this
much
is,
seeing everything.
We're seeing everything you want to see. And then they're like, oh, no, this is fine to put on the middle of the day. Just no problem. Kids getting off school. What's the can you imagine if this,
this is
was
educational.
On TV? I never would have sought out a blurry channel in my life if as a 9-year-old I got home from school and was like, oh, what's on E? Naked people.
This is erotic to you?
It's not. No, it's not.
Watching people get
I
cut up in
when,
surgery? Like, what's the matter with you?
I said
Little
when,
Bone comes home from school. Like, yeah, this is doing it for me. Cut that chick up, you serial killer freak.
When I'm 9 and I've never seen anything, and then they showed the consultation. No, not the surgery part, you
All
sicko.
Right. Consultation.
The consultation
Consultation
part,
gets you off. Surgery, not
I
so much.
I didn't even say, I was 9. It would have been curiosity of, oh, what's going on under there? I can see everything now.
Mm-hmm.
They're showing you everything you want to see.
Can we get back to the show?
Stop putting.
Do you want to watch some more meat chopping?
It's such.
Wish the Fan app was compatible with Apple CarPlay or Android Auto? Well, now it is. Download the new Fan app today for all your listening needs. The Fan. We keep changing the locks, but they keep finding new ways to get in. It's Common Man and T-Bone Weekend. The best or worst from the past week. Now back to the show.
Welcome in. We have a very, very special show today. It is the show about nothing. No sports are allowed.
Yep. That's right.
As a matter of fact, me just saying that, I think Teddy needs to buzz my genitals.
Right. We can't say the word sports. We're not going to talk about any of that
mm-hmm.
on the show today. But I didn't know we couldn't actually say the word describing what we're not
I guess
talking
not.
About.
I guess not. Because okay. Teddy was giving me a dirty look.
That's going to be very difficult to describe the show.
So here's what we have today. We have Bone of Education at the top of the 4 o'clock hour. What's the learning today, Boner?
Going to learn about something you've been passionate about, you've talked about for many years, parachuting. I'm fascinated by the idea of the first person to do dangerous things, like go to space, you know, cross a giant canyon or something,
mm-hmm.
like the first person to jump out of a thing in the air, and it happened, Mike, before airplanes were invented.
Really?
There were no
like
airplanes.
Like cliff diving.
Yeah, no, not, no, he was not.
All right, well, don't spoil it for me.
I don't
want
to spoil it for you, but this flying Frenchman, as
I'm excited about it.
We're going to learn about him and what he did.
Yeah. Bone of Education, top of the 4 o'clock hour. It is Would You Rather Thursday. We're still doing that today. You can send in your Would You Rather tweets, at @ManAndBone971, your chance to win fabulous prizes. We hold you to the same standards we hold ourselves. Mm-hmm. We will not entertain any Would You Rathers today that talk about sports.
What was that?
I don't know, but it's...
What just happened?
Sounded like the buzzer took a crap.
Try that again.
Sports.
That
one sounded fine.
Did you hit it twice?
I didn't do anything.
I think Teddy hit it twice. Okay.
I will say that I'm injured as we start the show today.
What do you mean?
I hurt my back right before the show. I was with Timmy Hall. I was playing Pink.
No. I think Bone, he can't do that, right? Talking about ping pong.
Wow. You just did it. You just said it. First of all, ping pong, stop it. It is a recreational activity. No, it is not a sport.
How are we supposed to do this if we can't say the word sport? Stop. I feel like I'm in one of those gangster movies where you like get shot once, you're like, oh, and then it's like bam, bam, bam. I can't get back.
This is Ryan Dave's bullwhip.
We can't talk about Ryan Dave. We can't even say his name. It's no sports today. There's none. You can't do anything with this.
All right.
Well, you got hurt outside.
I hurt my back.
Spinal.
I
Mike Tyson talking to Jim Gray. That's sports, technically, so I can't even bring that up. Damn it! The buzzer's getting to work out. It's not ready. It's not ready.
Okay. All right, so I hurt myself today.
You hurt yourself.
And I want to let you know that I was in the middle of doing something when I hurt myself.
Well, you can't say what you were doing.
I was in the middle of an activity when I hurt myself.
Who was involved in this activity?
Timmy Hall was in the middle of this activity with me.
So you and Timmy Hall.
Very upset that he can't beat me at this particular activity.
You were involved in an activity.
Yes.
You were doing this activity with Timmy Hall in front of everyone who was in the office at the time.
Right. And I hurt myself.
Yourself.
And yet he still could not beat me. But I'm playing hurt right now.
Okay. Playing a game?
No.
Because that I don't want to get into...
It's a term.
Okay.
Meaning I'm injured. Okay. My back hurts while I'm doing this show.
Okay.
This show that is absolutely not about sports.
Can't... Whoa, no buzzer there.
No buzzer. I guess
okay. Okay, fine.
He's warmed on the idea.
The buzzer broke.
The buzzer's... All right, anyway, so I'm injured today.
All right.
Let's start the show, shall we? Because I have lots of things to discuss today.
Some would argue we never stop starting the show, but yeah, go ahead.
I would like to tell you, because we are obligated to say this, that we have a poll on the website every single day.
Yes.
That poll, though, relates to things that we cannot talk about on the show today. So if you'd like to participate in the Reichert Kia fan poll, you can go to 971thefan.com.
All right, so that's...
Anyway,
that's
we won't be talking about it, but it's
all there.
Reichert Kia fan poll.
Mm-hmm.
Brazilian president, J.R. Bolsonaro, is that how we say his name?
Bolsonaro?
Jair Jergens? May have to have emergency surgery after he's had hiccups that have persisted for over 10 days.
That is something.
He was rushed to the hospital in the early hours yesterday morning complaining of abdominal pain. A military hospital. He says he's had an unrelenting bout of hiccups, which has lasted for more than 10 days.
Man, I don't know if you've seen the picture of him that came out from his official account. Like, I'm on NBC's website right now. NBC News has an article about this. And it shows him in the hospital. And it shows him with his shirt off and a bunch of tubes attached to him. And I'm saying, if I'm the leader of a country, I'm going to probably veto that picture going out, because it's not a flattering picture.
He was probably sedated, so he couldn't veto it. But I guess he was having problems speaking.
Well, and they diagnosed the hiccups for 10 days.
They diagnosed the problem as a bowel obstruction.
Oh, can that?
I guess
that could cause. I had no idea that could even be such a thing that would cause that.
Well, I guess hiccup is essentially your body just saying, "What the hell's going on here?"
Well, yeah, but isn't that the muscle that controls your lungs? Is that your diaphragm?
I don't know.
I think so. Yeah, I thought that's what hiccups were, was a contraction of that muscle sporadically. Like,
could be, but I guess if you have something obstructing your bowel,
maybe that interferes with...
I'm going to say it's a whole pork chop. The dude does not chew his food properly. It was a whole pork chop just, that was stuck there.
He watched a Bugs Bunny cartoon and sees how they eat steaks, well, that's where they
what,
just
yeah, that's
suck
what
it off
killed
the bone.
Elvis, right? Elvis had a bowel obstruction.
Oh, I didn't
That's why he was so constipated.
That's
he could
right.
not he could not go to the bathroom. And so I think he was straining to go to the bathroom, and he had a hemorrhage and died right on the crapper.
Wow. Yeah, you don't want to go that way. Also, I'm going to guess, and I hope he doesn't, you don't want to go out with a bout of incurable hiccups. That's one of the irrational, stupid fears, though, that I have carried for a long time. And I don't think we've ever, you or I, had an issue on this show. But I've always thought, what would happen if we just started having the hiccups?
Well, I control my hiccups. That doesn't happen to me.
What is it?
You know that. I have one hiccup. I shut it down. Then that's
one
the
hiccup.
End of it. One hiccup. Then I shut it down.
Yeah,
it's
but...
mental.
It's all mental. It's not mental.
By the way, I like how the Brazilian president, he's famous for saying... COVID, not real,
yes.
Not really a big thing.
He is.
But now his new platform is going to be COVID, not real, hiccups, very real. get screened for hiccups today.
Get your hiccups vaccine right now. They're like, that doesn't exist, sir. He's like, yeah, like COVID doesn't exist. I rest my case. And everybody goes, what does that mean? And he goes, I'm the president. Shut up. And that's it. I hope he's okay.
Would you get a hiccups vaccine? Let's say the hiccups vaccine.
What's the risk?
2%.
2% of
2%
what?
Chance you drop dead. They stick the needle in your arm,
no,
you
hiccups,
drop dead. 98% chance you never have to deal with hiccups again.
Hiccups are not that big of a problem for me, because I'm like you. I mean, I don't.
You control your hiccups.
I don't say
get
it.
Get out of here, hiccups.
I don't say it like a douche, and like you did there, but yes, I
say it like it.
I control my hiccups. My hiccups will not dominate me.
Mind over matter.
Yeah, okay.
Don't tell me about the pain, just show me the baby. Stop those hiccups.
Right.
All I'm Spielman saying is, hosting the show today.
Yeah, right. I typically...
Oh, violation.
It's sports. Mm-hmm. Can't talk about that. No, but I don't find them to be a big enough problem that I would want to take that risk. I just, I usually hold my breath or something and they go away. What would there be something that has, let's say, a 5% chance of death? Like, I'll tell you straight up, if they said there is a shot you can get and that shot will make food have no calories... but it will still taste awesome.
Oh.
I'm shooting 40%. That into my eyeball.
40%. Yeah. You give me a 40% chance of death.
Right. Oh, I would do it for even a higher percentage chance of death. I would just have to clear that with the fam to be like, hey, are you all right with me?
You dying would actually help them out.
You're probably right. So that's right. Assuming they don't care, then yes. Sign me up for that instantaneously.
What else would it? Would that be the highest one?
What would
Food
be?
Food has no calories?
I mean,
obviously there's the lifetime of health.
Oh, that's where you were going.
You know,
I didn't know where you were going.
Where did you think I was going?
I thought you were going to say, obviously there's the increase of size of things.
Oh, see, I don't care. I don't know why people are so hung up on that.
I can understand either.
If you're a single guy that you'd be hung up on that. At this point, I've been married for almost 15 years.
Yeah.
You could just lop it right off. That doesn't matter to me. If you make it bigger, that'd be actually a pain in the ass. More adjustments. Mm-hmm. I'm already sticking my hand down my pants, moving things around. So I hate it. I just want it to retract into my body and only come out when I need it.
That's your problem, is that it's so uncomfortably
You don't think
large.
That's a problem for
no,
some of these Mandingo
that.
Guys?
No, I'm saying it's a problem to the point that out in public, people are like, man, dude, get your hand out of your pants. They're like, you don't understand. It's just so large.
Yes.
I
have a summer sausage down there. You send these things to your sons in the military.
Your sons in the military?
Wasn't that the old thing that
I don't know.
They used to do it like Katz's Deli, send a sausage overseas to your son in the war? Wasn't that one of those things?
Okay.
Send a sausage to a soldier?
I didn't know about that
program.
Well,
I'm just educating you.
Sounds like a winner to me. Sure. Who doesn't love a good sausage in the summer?
Well, you're in the trenches.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, World War II or something, fighting the Nazis.
You need a preserved meat.
You're like, hey, man, big sausages came for you from your parents.
And they're like, they get me. Mom and dad really
suddenly
understand
what
I like.
Suddenly it doesn't seem like such a bad day.
Yeah. You're like, all right, I'm going to go take on the Nazis or whoever you're fighting.
Yes, and the Nazis.
As, you know.
Ryan Zimmerman is there. No. Playing first base for the Nazis.
I was saying it like Brad Pitt said it Inglourious Bastards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, we did a whole segment.
Common Man and T-Bone Weekend, celebrating all the award-winning material from the past week. Also celebrating Big Voice Guy being a pathological liar. Let's get back to the show.
Urban Meyer is frustrated. This according to Jimmy Johnson, not the driver, but the coach. He was talking to Nate Davis of USA Today, he said, about Urban. He's a little frustrated right now because he spent so little time with the players. He's accustomed to being around the players all the time, and they weren't able to do that because of COVID-19. He said, Urban's very thorough. Urban has spent his due diligence getting ready for this job. He knew what he was getting into when he accepted the job. We had numerous conversations during the job process, and I think he'll do a great job. He knows how important personnel is. He knows how to deal with people.
All right. That's understandable that he would want more hands-on time with his players. I get that. But
and this could just be, you know, how frustrated is he? Who the hell knows? I'm sure, yes, he'd like to spend all day with these guys all the time. But this could just be Urban making conversation with a guy that he knows, too.
Well,
it's like,
right.
Oh, yeah, you know, wish I could be around these guys more, but the damn COVID, what are you going to do?
Yeah, and then that turns into, like, he's
frustrated
beyond all belief, and this is terrible. You're right. I think certainly there are things, like we talked about earlier in the week, right, with the Chris Doyle hiring, where now that's got him involved, at least to whatever degree, where there's been a subpoena issued for certain records between the Jags.
Trust me, if he knew the crap that was going to come from all of this,
he never would have done it.
As big of an egomaniac as he is, thinking that, well, I know him and I vouch for him and that's good enough. There's no way he would have touched Chris Doyle.
No,
if he knew all this,
because he's anti-headache. As Henry, I don't mean that because
in both senses of the word.
I actually didn't mean that because of his real issue that he has. I'm saying, like, Urban Meyer and any big-time college football coach, the last thing they want to do is draw the ire of things that take them away from coaching football. So now that he's in the NFL, I'm sure that's not what he was looking for. He just overestimated how people would accept this. He guessed wrong on that. But, yeah, I don't think the entire media world needs to look for something to say Urban Meyer is a failure in the NFL. We're going to find out if Urban Meyer is a failure in the NFL or not. If you're waiting to write those articles, you'll know, because this just in, most people who coach in the NFL are failures at coaching successfully in the NFL. I don't mean they're failures at life. I don't mean they're failures as football coaches. It's just a really tough place to win. It's the highest form of football we have. So, yeah, you'll know probably in a few years here if Urban's good at this or not, but every little article that comes out that's like, Urban is adjusting to the newness of the NFL. Yeah, I bet he is, because it's a new thing.
Common Man and T-Bone Weekend.
Let's talk about popular emojis. This is actually a story that I had left over from yesterday's show about nothing.
All right.
Researchers from Adobe surveyed 7,000 users across the United States, United Kingdom, Germany, France, Japan, Australia, and South Korea, and they have determined that the most popular emoji in the world, if you had to guess which one it is, which one is it? Which one do people use most?
You know what? I'm going to guess it's the laughing with tears.
Yes. They call that the laughing out loud emoji.
Okay. Yeah.
The crying laughing emoji. That is the world's most popular emoji, even though Gen Zers think that emoji is not cool anymore and they don't use it.
Oh, what are the Gen Zers?
I don't know,
using
but
now?
They use other stuff. Maybe
what
the eggplant.
To use?
The purple eggplant.
I think that's a different one. They're using that.
Which one came in second?
Poo emoji.
Nope.
Oh.
Thumbs up.
Oh, yeah. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Well, you know what? I was just thinking of which ones do I use a lot? I use the laughing crying emoji and I use the thumbs up emoji. Yeah.
So thumbs up came in second. Red heart is
sure.
Third.
Okay.
Wink and kiss.
Yeah, that's okay.
Sad face with tear. That is the top five.
Yeah, there's certain emotions I have no problem expressing through emoji, like laughter, like I think that's poo. But I don't feel really good expressing, like, hugs and kisses with a big smooch and a wink. That doesn't feel right. Like, I don't send my wife those type of emojis.
I send the purple eggplant emoji.
That sounds right. And I also don't do, if someone's like, you're not going to believe this, I've had a really awful week, someone very close to me has passed away, I don't send them an emoji. So I don't use the sad emoji either. I don't, like, I typically feel...
I send the emoji with the X's over the eyes. It's like, sorry, someone's dead. Here's my dead emoji.
Yeah, right. I don't use emojis in all situations. So I find it odd that it's like the sad emoji. If someone, I have trouble expressing sadness through emojis, I guess is what I'm saying.
So anyway, the laughing out loud, laughing, crying emoji is dead with the kids.
Oh, well.
Kids don't like it. Here's a quote from a 21-year-old. I use everything but the laughing emoji. I stopped using it a while back because I saw older people using it, like my mom, my older siblings, and just older people in general.
All right, maybe that's just some weird guy, right? Or person, I don't know. Whatever.
Adobe's latest emoji trend report also examined the three most misunderstood emojis in the world.
Oh, I bet that's good.
The eggplant symbol edged out the peach and the clown emojis respectively as the most confusing for users. First of all, how are you confused by clown?
I don't understand
you
that.
You get the clown emoji, you're making fun of someone. You're calling someone a clown.
Yeah. Is someone confused when they get that and saying, like, oh, they think I'm entertaining? Like, what does that mean? I don't know.
And I'll tell you right now, the eggplant means pee-pee and the peach means the other thing. That's what that means.
It means your ass. Yeah.
I thought it meant the front.
Mm-mm.
No, it's the ass?
No, it's talking about a butt. Yeah.
I may have to challenge you on that.
All right.
I thought that was the front.
Okay. Put it to the people.
67% of people who use emojis are friendlier, funnier, and cooler than those who don't. This according to a study.
Really?
The vast majority of emoji users, 90%, believe the modern-day hieroglyphs make it easier for them to express themselves. 89% of respondents said emojis simplify communicating across language barriers. Are you communicating with a bunch of people who don't speak the same language as
Maybe you are. You and I are not, but maybe other people are.
Who?
Maybe. Well, I don't. Okay.
How?
You live in, I don't know. We had a coworker here who moved to Switzerland. That guy in Switzerland, there's like three different languages spoken. So yeah, you might come across people in your day to day work life that don't.
So you just hold up your phone and be like, hey,
well, no, you text
Peach.
No,
this is what I'm feeling today, Peach.
You text with them and maybe they speak to you in a broken version of whatever language you're speaking, and you speak to them in a broken version of whatever language they speak. And so the emojis help bridge that a little bit, where you give a thumbs up and both of you know, yes, thumbs up. That means
a slight majority of respondents said they are more comfortable expressing emotions through emojis than talking on the phone or in person. More than half of global emoji users, 55%, said using emojis in communications has positively impacted their mental health.
Oh, right. So you don't have to write out. See, that's the opposite of what I was saying, where they're saying, I don't have to write out the long text message saying, I'm really sorry to hear about that or whatever. They just send a crying, sad emoji and that gets them through. Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting.
You know, the latest thing that I've noticed people do when I text with them is that they'll just like, instead of responding like they used to before, now they'll just like my last text to them.
Yes, I get that. Now, see,
that's the latest thing.
I get the like thing, and it is weird. It is very weird because I don't.
Because like, I send a sounds good or so.
Yeah,
I got text
like,
that
okay.
Text that sounds good. Okay,
right. I didn't
kiss
know
my ass. Something.
I don't have a phone where I can like. I'm not on the I'm not on the iPhone.
Well.
So then I got that the first time, and I was like, what the hell does that mean? They liked my text. I didn't know you could. By the way, emoji for a peach. Apparently, I was right. It is for the buttocks.
Well, what's for the front? There's got to be an emoji for the front.
I don't
Why
know.
Aren't women represented here? We have ass and wiener.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm just telling you that's what
Where's
that
Vagintown?
You know where that is.
What? I was going to say, let's ask Leanna like she would know.
No,
she probably does know.
I don't think there is one. I don't think there's an emoji for that.
Leanna knows what it is.
No, no.
And she will tell us during traffic what the badgie emoji is. Because I want to know.
I don't think we're going to like the answer. Not from her. I'm just saying, I don't want to go Google this because I feel like I'm going to end up on a work list here where they're like, T-Bone was Googling things he shouldn't.
Yeah.
This is for the show. Just saying.
You're listening to Common Man and T-Bone Weekend. A glimpse of all the meaningless conversation from the past week.
Oh, this is your lucky day.
Now, back to the stupid.
You know, the future, Bone, people tell me the future is the human race eating bugs.
Mm.
That's the future.
I've heard that because there's a lot of protein
there,
in the
there's
bugs.
A lot of people. And so, obviously, you know, we're going to need a better source of protein to feed all the people that we're going to have on this planet. But animal farming, also a cause of climate issues.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, because it's not good on the environment with all the animal farts and methane and
the concentration
like
of
that.
All that. Yeah,
well, it's the growing the feed that it takes to grow the animals. And,
yeah, and you got to transport all that. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there.
That's what people tell me. So they say that in the future, we're all going to eat bugs. Good news is the future's not here yet, but there are some people trying to make that happen. Tizania Di Castano makes pizza dough from scratch, mixing together flour, yeast, pinch of salt, dash of olive oil, and what we all use to make pizza dough, cricket powder. Yes, she is an edible insect entrepreneur. That's how she describes herself.
Okay.
I want business cards with that on it. Mm. She holds cricket and mealworm cooking classes at her West London home, where she also raises the critters in the backyard shed with her husband, Tom. See? It's like a homestead.
Yeah. Well, it's smaller. That saves on space,
right?
Well,
I'm just saying, like, Pioneer Woman's husband.
Yeah, he's got
Lad's got thousands and thousands of acres in Oklahoma so he can raise the cows.
Yeah.
This chick's in the middle of London.
And she's got a farm.
And she's got her protein ranch right in the back shed. Mealworms and crickets.
That's good. Yeah.
Her startup is called Horizon Insects, and it's part of Europe's edible insect scene. Did you know there was a scene?
Well, I mean, I didn't know there was a scene.
Yes,
it features
dozens of bug-related businesses offering cricket chips in the Czech Republic, bug burgers in Germany, and Belgian beetle beer. The European Union headquarters in Brussels is also backing research into insect-based proteins as part of a broader sustainable food strategy.
Yeah, look, I mean, let's think about this real quick. There are probably a lot of foods that if we got right down to it, the food is made with ingredients now that we don't really taste the end product. Like, you know how much there is corn in almost anything
corn
you
eat?
Corn
is in everything that you eat.
Right, but I don't think most people eat certain items.
Corn is in your KY drinking station. K5. Corn juice comes out.
You get that from the Kentucky branch. That's not from me. Anyway, the point is, if there's something like, hey, instead of cornmeal, we've got cricket meal. It's ground up crickets. I'm sure they can process it and flavor it to the point that I wouldn't even know. I could maybe get there on that. If you're telling me I've got to pop like a live cricket, and that's the only way I can eat crickets? No, I'm not doing that. There's got to be an in-between there. I could handle some of that stuff, but not most of it.
It says around the world, 2 billion people in 130 countries eat insects regularly.
Oh, wow.
The global edible insect market is poised to boom, according to investment bank Barclays, citing data from meticulous research that forecasts it will grow from less than 1 billion in 2019 to 8 billion by 2030. So the smart money's on the bugs, Bone.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this, man. Have you ever had a cauliflower pizza crust?
Yes.
Okay. I had one many, many years ago as part of a weight loss adventure where I tried it, didn't like it. It was very cauliflowery. I didn't think it tasted good at all.
I think there's been advancements in the cauliflower crust.
That's what I'm saying. So then I just a few weeks ago was at my parents' house, and they ordered pizza from like a chain, and they're trying to eat a little healthier. So they said, oh, we got a cauliflower crust if you want to try that. And I said, oh, yeah. It's been a while since I tried it.
They also got triple pepperoni on top, but let's not talk about that.
But I'm saying I tried the cauliflower crust, and you know what? Much better.
Yeah.
It was much more tolerable, and I actually found myself saying if they had not told me, I might have thought something was a little odd with the toppings. I may have tasted a little hint, but I don't even know if I would have noticed. It was pretty good what they did. So I'm saying maybe we get there with crickets and mealworms down the road. I'm not going to guess that right now most of the insect products you could eat are good. But maybe in 10 years, maybe I'll be eating
and again,
stuff and
you
not
brought
really
up the point about
it.
This stuff being processed to the point where
yes.
Like now my wife ate a chocolate covered like cricket once.
Because
my nephews brought him over
sure.
And they're like, oh yeah, can you try him? And I would not try him, but she ate it. But, you know, it was shaped like a cricket.
Of course.
With
yes.
Some chocolate on it. But
right.
If you really think about it, as disgusting as the thought for me of eating bugs is, when you eat, how many pig penises do you think we're actually eating? Quite a few.
That's my point, is it's
right.
All been ground
but
up
it's,
and
it's
chopped
processed
up. Yeah.
To the point where when you have a sausage, you're not thinking like, oh, this pig penis, delicious today.
I'm not
right?
Thinking about that. Well, now I am. But.
So to your point, maybe they'll get the cricket powder.
Yes.
Processed to the point where you throw it in some of the foods for a good source of protein.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, there are so many. There are literally protein powder that people make, you know, workout shakes out of and
yeah.
Stuff like that. Okay. Well, if you said, oh, hey, 17% of this is now cricket as opposed to some other thing, is that going to be the end of your world? Probably not. Are you going to be able to taste it? Probably not. And if that's something that they say, oh, if we just make that little change, it helps with all this other stuff. All right, I'm willing to listen to that. That's all. I'm not saying I'm going to be looking forward to
society evolves.
Go to a steakhouse and they're like, here you go. These ones are rare. And they're just hopping around on the plate. Like, I'm not doing that. But yeah, there's probably applications where cricket would be fine.
Yes. My grandfather used to say when the subject of sushi came up, he said, why the hell would I pay extra for a raw piece of fish? Then I can go down the street and get a fish sandwich from McDonald's.
Sure.
Right?
Well, that's his perspective.
That's his perspective. And I don't blame him for having that perspective.
Yeah.
Because I probably have the same perspective on just eating bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Why the
Absolutely.
Hell would I eat a bug when I could eat a hamburger?
But you know what? If you've grown up as a kid, like my kids will, having heard of this and like, hey, this is a good alternative. And oh, by the way, here are some products now at the grocery store.
Well, yeah, my kid eats sushi, doesn't think anything of it.
Yeah, I'm saying like kids now, you know, our generation, you're my generation, doesn't even think of eating sushi as a bad or weird thing. But like I'm saying kids 20 years from now, is there adults? Yeah, they're probably gonna be like, oh, eat some cricket stuff. Yeah, they've had that since I was a kid. That's no big deal.
Common Man and T-Bone Weekend.
By the way, Mike, I guess I don't know if this would make him a Tool of the Week candidate. Probably not, but it's a funny story either way. Headline, Australian Prime Minister says he didn't crap himself in 1997.
What?
All
right.
This is the headline of the news article I'm reading. Apparently, he was on the Australian Prime Minister's name is Scott Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
He was
from
on
Dateline.
No, that's a different guy.
Keith Morrison.
Keith Morrison. Yes, he Scott Morrison.
Van Morrison.
Sha la 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 la. No,
your guy.
Yeah. Every
Van
time
Morrison. By the way, very vaccine hesitant.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, sorry
yeah.
to hear
yeah.
that. All right. Anyway, Scott Morrison was apparently, according to a viral rumor, was at a rugby match in 1997 and apparently wound up at a McDonald's mm-hmm. after the game.
As you do.
The urban legend goes that he was there, had a problem, couldn't make it to the bathroom in time, and pooed himself.
Oh, no.
In the McDonald's. So he was then on a national radio show, apparently, called Kyle and Jackie O. All right. They interviewed the prime minister. And as he's on this like morning talk show, they're wanting to ask him about the current COVID issues that are hitting Australia in a big way. And rightfully so. Well, he came up with this. He said, can I clear up one thing? I'd like to clear up the biggest urban myth ever. And then the response from one of the radio hosts was, oh, the Macca's thing, which, of course, in Australia, they don't call it McDonald's. They have to call it Macca's because
that's all right.
Everything in Australia has a nickname, and I approve. It's great. He then went on to say, it's complete and utter rubbish. I found the whole thing incredibly amusing, and we've always joked about it amongst our team here as we've driven by, asking, do you want to pop in for a Big Mac? So he says that he has a good laugh over it, and it's all good, but no, that didn't happen. And that makes me more convinced than ever. I know nothing about the situation. This man absolutely pooed himself at a McDonald's in 1997. The fact he brought it up so willingly, yes, that's exactly what you do when you know you did it and you want to get the record clear.
I brought this up before. I have no shame. I probably should have some shame. That too.
For many things. We all should.
But the first night that I ever spent with my wife, I pooed myself.
Really?
Yeah. I've told you this before.
Yes, I forgot about it.
It was the first overnight stay, and I was having some intestinal issues, and I excused myself. This was probably midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and went to the bathroom, and I was having some problems.
Yeah.
I thought I just needed to fart, and that would relieve some of the pressure.
But you were in the bathroom.
I was in the bathroom, but I didn't want to sit down and go. I thought if I just relieved, I thought it was some farts, that it would relieve the pressure. So I tried to squeeze a little fart out, and instead,
it was not
poo-poo time.
Yeah, right. Oof.
Poo-poo time.
Misjudging a fart at that
on my
critical juncture?
Pants, and it got on her bath mat.
Oh, no.
So in the middle of the night.
Wait, what did you do? Pull your pants down and aim? What happened?
No, it's just.
What was going on there? Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Adnan Virk here.
Whatever you talk about pooing yourself, that's just what happens.
So then in the middle of the night, I took my pants and my underwear.
Yeah, of course. Right.
And the bath mat and ran out and threw it in the woods. And the next morning she got up and said, what happened to our bath mat? I don't know. There wasn't a bath mat in here when I came in here.
Mm. What about your pants and underwear?
Well, the pants were, it was just my underwear that so I was going commando then.
Oh, I see. Okay.
For the rest of the time.
I see.
Just my underwear that had.
What an uncomfortable situation.
Yes, uncomfortable is right.
Oof, I'm sorry, buddy.
We keep changing the locks, but they keep finding new ways to get in. It's Common Man and T-Bone Weekend. The best or worst from the past week. Now back to the show.
Mike, I just got a little distracted because I saw this story and I thought you might be interested in it.
What?
In Meridian, Mississippi, police are investigating a case involving a robbery, a shooting, an adult film, and a naked man running through a residential neighborhood. Police say the armed robbery happened at an abandoned alternative school. There were three people inside the abandoned school making an adult film. So that's illegal. You're not allowed to do that, right? It's not your
property.
Well, it's not your property. You can't go in there and do anything, but let alone make an adult film.
Can you get squatters' rights? That's the name of the show.
Meaning to the
squatters'
term.
Squatters' rights.
But it's like, what do they usually do? It's Squatter's Rights, Volume 74.
Yes, use the back door when it's time for Squatter's Rights.
Police say that apparently this one of the people who was in the film then decided to rob the other two.
Oh.
The best I can understand it.
So did they lure them in?
Say,
hey, man, we're filming this porn. Then when their pants are down, literally.
Well, here's the thing. The robber was also naked.
Oh.
So everyone was apparently naked. And then the robber was like, hey, you owe me $200. I would hesitate to call this person a porn star, but, one of the people.
Not a porn star,
right,
man.
One of the people trying to make the porn said, hey, you two owe me $200 for this. They said no. That's when first porn man pulled out a gun. I don't know where he pulled it out from. That's not in the story.
First porn man sounds like the Last of a Mohicans style story. It's like, now, Native American first porn man.
Uh-huh, yeah. The victim then tried to make a run for it. Victims, I should say, the two people who were being robbed. But then they were chased and shot at by the naked robber, putting several holes in their car. The detective in this story has an interesting name. His name is Rochester Anderson. All right. He said, in my 7 years of doing this, this is one of the most unique incidents that I've ever run across. And I want to know, whenever someone is interviewed who's like a detective about a weird case, Are they forced to give the amount of years that they've been on the force?
Yes.
Because I hear that every time I read one of these stories, like, in my 27 years of being a police officer, I've never seen this. There's got to be a time where they've interviewed someone and they've been like, well, in my 17 hours of being on the force, this is the first case I've ever seen like this. Not every person is a 30-year veteran, right?
Yeah, but this guy is.
Well, no, this guy was a 7-year veteran.
All right, well,
seven's
still.
Not that. Well, maybe you should be a police officer longer. You'll probably see some crazier stuff than this. 7 years. That's not enough time.
All right.
Just telling you. Anyway, be careful if you're making nudie movies in abandoned places and then trying to rob people.
Common Man and T-Bone Weekend.
A woman was scared shirtless, her words, after finding 18 snakes under her bed in Georgia.
That was a close call there. I did not know where we were going with that.
Trish Wilcher was headed to sleep on Sunday in her Augusta home when she noticed something odd. She said, I spotted what I thought was a piece of fuzz on the floor. Went to reach for it, and it moved.
Yikes.
She said, She said a second later, another piece moved, and she went to her husband to let him know they have snakes. The family learned they had 17 babies who had recently hatched and a mother snake as guests in their home.
Ooh.
Her husband, Max Wilcher, used a grabber tool to place each in a linen bag before taking them to a nearby creek and releasing them.
Mm-hmm. That's so I'm assuming if that happened in your house, you're moving instantly. You getting a grabber tool and removing them yourself?
Are you kidding me?
No, I know the answer.
I'm taking a match
and burning the house down. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Says that they're hard to detect because they don't smell or make much noise.
Well, you know, that's probably fair. I don't think they would smell by themselves.
Well, there is a myth.
They're using the bathroom or something in a space for enough time, I would think you would smell something.
Well, who knows what type of house these people live into? It could be a filth hole, some sort of trailer, right? But I guess there's this myth that snakes smell like cucumbers.
Oh, really?
Yes, snake expert says, unfortunately, they don't smell that good. They usually don't smell like anything unless you pick one up and smell it a lot.
Mm-hmm. This guy's like, trust me, I can't get enough of their aroma. I wish they smelled more, but they don't.
He says you might smell a musky, really nasty smell. All right, first of all, I contend that if a snake is under your bed giving birth to 17 snake babies, there's some sort of aroma that comes out of the snake.
There might be.
Right?
I would think so. That's terrifying.
Yes, it's terrifying.
That's I mean, these people have like a platform bed where
I don't know.
You can't see under the bed usually. That's
17 snakes?
That's a lot.
I'm sorry, 18 snakes, 17 of those were babies.
Snake babies.
All right, now let's talk about the movie that they're going to make about an entire town.
Yes.
That had big erections.
4 years ago, reports spread that a village in County Cork, whose residents were getting fumes from the nearby Pfizer plant where they make Viagra.
Yeah.
They complained that the fumes from the plant were causing the men and apparently the dogs in the town uncontrollable reactions, let's just say. Right. At a time, the spokesperson for the pharmaceutical company denied these statements, stated that the claims were an amusing delusion. Well, it turns out that, yes, this probably wasn't the case, and this probably did not cause the problems
but
that it was being attributed to.
Has it been proven?
It has not been proven either way.
That was all about Cox. Fletcher Cox.
So, this inspired a play, which is now being turned into a film. The film is being called Love in Kilnery.
I also apologize. That was a sports play-by-play clip. I shouldn't have played it.
That's no good.
I know.
No sports today.
Not good. I apologize.
Anyway, Kilnery is a fictional village, and the plot has been changed a little bit around. But ultimately, this movie was filmed in New Hampshire. It was a play in New York City before that. Anyway, they have workshopped this. They have made the film, and they are going to basically summarize it as this. Elderly residents of a small remote town panic after the EPA announces that the government-mandated changes to their water supply needed for the chemical plant could create a byproduct that would dramatically increase their sexual libido. The sheriff struggles to maintain order and decency as mayhem ensues.
As it would.
Now, there, I want to be very clear. This is not a movie where it's a dark theater. You go in and you're going to see Fred Willard there. Like, this is not that type
Fred's
of movie.
Fred's never going to live that down,
no,
man.
No, he's the poor guy. He's dead. Never will. He never
We're still
will.
Talking about him.
Yeah. Well, he's already not lived it down because he's dead and we're still talking about it. Anyway, so this is like a regular film where that's the premise. So if that appeals to you, it will be.
Sounds hilarious to me.
Gotten a North American distribution deal so you can watch it. But anyway, if you see it and it says based on a true story, not really. People thought that, but it doesn't
appear
to
have.
Well,
it has not been disproven.
Okay, fair enough.
Common Man and T-Bone.
Catch the live experience weekdays from 3 to 6 and listen on demand at 971thefan.com.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Hey, Common Man here. I know what you're thinking. This guy again? But we have some special bonus stuff for you. Sponsored, of course, by our friends, Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust. Has your mom ever saved anything disgusting
of
yours?
Yes.
What?
I didn't know this was, I think I've said this on the air. I didn't know that parents don't save teeth. Like, my mom has all the teeth. When they all fell out of my head, she's got them. I don't know if she has all of them, like, in order, like a collection where they're, like, filed that way. But I know she saved all the teeth because I guess she got them back from the tooth fairy. However that works, she got them back, and then that's what happened.
I got another story for you. Now that I look back at the neighborhood that I grew up in, it was a weird neighborhood.
Well, let's remind people of Muggsy's Leap.
Muggsy's Leap. We had the lady down the street who had a little dog,
mm-hmm.
and she would play with its
leaper,
she would call it.
Mm-hmm.
He likes it.
It's like, I bet he does, lady.
But this is abnormal behavior.
That doesn't
behavior.
Mean it's okay. That's bad.
So we got tonsils in the jar. We also had a kid that I was friends with that lost a tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog presumably ate the tooth.
Okay.
Okay. This friend was so devastated that the tooth fairy was not going to come.
Oh, right.
I mean,
of
just
course.
The tooth fairy. You don't have the tooth.
How are you? Yeah.
Tooth fairy's not going to come.
Yeah.
So desperate that he went through the dog's poop.
Oh, no.
To retrieve the tooth.
Oh, no.
What's that, a kernel of corn? Nope, not what I want. Back into the poop. It's amazing
you gotta
that
step
I'm
in
not
as a parent.
In an asylum.
Don't you have to?
Isn't it?
I don't know how. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Because between that and your human interactions that you have when you leave this place and you walk out of here, you see the craziest stuff. I am surprised you're not.
It is fitting.
An asylum.
It is fitting
kind.
That I have people coming up to me just randomly, gas station, grocery store, and their new thing is just coming up to me going,
I like it. That's right. That's good.
What did that person do?
We've gotten, I mean, we had all the flap and chip and dip.
I still get that on occasion. I
now
get the my
just,
guy on occasion.
You're getting the, that's good. The mini lawnmower is what we should call that.
A special thank you for consuming all the stupidity we can safely shove down your gullet. Come back for more podcasts. And again, the podcast is sponsored by our friends, because they pay us. Care Heating and Cooling. Call 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust. Stop listening now. The podcast is over. Turn it off. Go do something.